how we never talked about it. On Monday, there was no mention of the sleepover. It's like the three of us knew instinctively, without having to say it out loud, that when we got back to school, everything would return to being business as usual. Jimena hanging out with the Savannah group, Summer hanging out with her tiny group, me playing dots with Maya at my lunch table. No one would have ever guessed that Summer, Jimena, and I had become good friends, or that, just a few days before, we were having silent pillow fights and sharing secrets under the pink glow of the red chili lights in Jimena's bedroom. How I failed to prevent a social catastrophe. The night before the gala, Mrs. Antonabi told us to take the day off and get some rest. She wanted us to make sure we had a nice, healthy dinner and a good night's sleep. Then she gave us our costumes, which she had somehow managed to sew herself. We had already tried them on the week before, but I was so excited to come home and try mine on again, now that it had been fitted. The costume was inspired by a photo of the Liberty Bells. So that afternoon, I went home from school with Maya and Lena, the way I used to in the old days, before I started hanging out with Summer and Jimena all the time. It was one of the first nice days in March, when you finally get a hint of spring after the long, crazy cold winter. Lena had the brainstorm to stop at Carvel on our way home, which felt like a very springtime thing to do, so we walked in the opposite direction, up Amesfort, toward the park. As we were walking, I told them how I had heard that Savannah was telling people that the only reason I got a part in Mrs. Antonabi's dance show was because I had been in a TV commercial when I was little. No one believes that, Lena said sympathetically, kicking her soccer ball in front of her. That's awful, said Maya, and it kind of made me happy that she got so mad about it. I can't believe Savannah. She used to be so nice in lower school. Savannah was never really that nice to me, I answered. She was nice to me, Maya insisted, pushing her glasses up her nose. Now she's evil. That whole group is evil. I nodded. Then I shook my head. Well, I don't know about that. And now they've turned Ellie against us, Maya said. You know, Ellie barely even says hello to me anymore. Now she's evil, too. I scratched my nose. Maya had a way of being very black and white about things. I guess. I'm telling you, it's Amena Chin's fault, Maya continued. It's only because of her. If she hadn't started this year, everything would be the same as it was. She's the bad influence. I knew that that was how Maya saw things. It was one of the reasons I never went into too much detail about the dance show I was in. She never really got that it was just me, Summer, and the dreaded Jimena Chin. And that was fine by me. I didn't want to have to defend my friendship with Jimena to Maya. I honestly don't think she would have understood. You know what I hate the most? Maya said. I hate that she's probably going to end up giving the fifth grade commencement speech at graduation this year. Well, she does have the best grades of anyone, I answered, trying to sound as impartial as possible. I thought you had the best grades, Charlotte, Lena said to me. No, Jimena does, Maya interjected. She started counting off on her fingers. Jimena, Charlotte, Simon, me. And then either Augie or Remo. Augie's actually got better grades than Remo in math, but he didn't do that well in Spanish on his last few quizzes, and that's bringing his whole grade point average down. Maya always knew what everyone else got on their tests. She kept tabs on homework assignments, essay scores. You name it, if it had a grade attached to it, Maya would ask you about it. And she had an amazing way of remembering all those details, too. It's crazy how you can remember everybody's grades, said Lena. It's a gift, answered Maya, not even meaning to be funny. Hey, did you tell Charlotte about the note? Lena asked her. What note? I said. Like I mentioned, I was a little out of the loop with these guys because I hadn't hung around them that much these last few weeks. Oh, nothing, said Maya. She wrote Ellie a note, said Lena. Maya looked up at me and frowned. Telling her how I feel, she added, peering at me over the rims of her glasses. I immediately had a sinking feeling about this note. "What did you write?" I asked. She shrugged. "Just a note." Lena nudged her. "Let her read it." "She's going to tell me not to give it to her," Maya answered, biting the end of her long, curly hair. "At least show it to me," I said, now really curious. "Come on, Maya." We had stopped at the intersection of Amesfort and 222nd Street to wait for the light to change. "Fine," Maya answered. "I'll show you." She started digging into her coat pocket and pulled out a well-worn ugly doll envelope with the word Ellie written on the outside in silver marker. "Okay, so basically, I just wanted to let Ellie know how I feel about the way she's changed this year." She passed the envelope to me and then nodded for me to open it and read the note inside. "Dear Ellie, I'm writing as one of your oldest friends to tell you that you've really been acting different lately, and I hope you snap out of it. I don't blame you. I blame it on the evil Ximena Chin, who is negatively influencing you. First she twisted Savannah's brain, and now she's turning you into a pretty zombie just like she is. I hope you stop being friends with her and remember all the good times we used to have. Remember Mr. Brown's November precept. Have no friends not equal to yourself. Can we please be friends again? Your former really good friend, Maya." I folded the note up and put it back inside the envelope. She was looking at me expectantly. "Is it stupid?" she asked me. I handed the envelope back to her. "No, it's not stupid," I answered. "But as your friend, I'm telling you that I don't think you should give it to her." "I knew you would try to talk me out of it," she said, annoyed and disappointed by my reaction. "No, I'm not trying to talk you out of it," I said. "You should give it to her if you really want to. I know you mean well, Maya." "I'm not trying to mean well," she said angrily. "I'm just trying to be truthful." "I know," I said. By now we had crossed the street and arrived at Carvel, only to see how super busy it was inside. The line at the counter went all the way to the door, and every single table was full, mostly with Beecher prep kids. "Everyone had the same idea as we did," said Lena regretfully. "It's too crowded," I said. "Let's forget it." Maya gripped my arm. "Look, there's Ellie," she said. I followed her gaze and saw Ellie sitting with Ximena, Savannah, and Gretchen, plus Miles, Henry, and Amos, at a table in front of the birthday cake counter, which was all the way on the other side of the shop. "Let's just go," I said, pulling Maya by the arm. Lena had already started kicking the ball down the block, but Maya stayed where she was. "I'm going to give her my note," she said slowly, her expression very serious. She held the note I had just returned to her in her left hand, and now she waved it like a tiny flag. "Oh, no, you're not," I said quickly, pushing her hand down. "Not now, at least." "Why not?" Lena came back toward us. "Wait, you want to give her the note now?" she said incredulously. "In front of everybody?" "Yes," Maya answered stubbornly. "No," I said, closing my hand over the note. All I could think of is what a big fool she would make of herself if she did that. Ellie would open the note in front of everyone at her table, and they would get so mad at Maya for the things she said about Ximena and Savannah. Unforgivable things, really. But even worse, they would totally start laughing at her about this. "This is the kind of thing you would never live down, Maya," I cautioned. "You will absolutely regret it. Don't do this." I could tell she was reconsidering. Her forehead was all scrunched up. "You could give it to her some other time," I continued, tugging on her coat sleeve the way Summer sometimes tugged on mine when she was talking. "When she's alone. You could even send it to her in the mail if you want, but do not do it now in front of everyone. I'm begging you, believe me, Maya, that would be a social catastrophe." I saw her rubbing her face. The thing with Maya is, she's never cared about popularity or social catastrophes. She's so good at keeping tabs on people's test scores and grades, but she doesn't have a clue how to read the social stuff. She gets the basics, of course, but in her black and white world, kids are either nice or evil. there's no in-between. In some ways, that's always been one of the nicest things about her. She'll go up to anyone and just assume they're friends. Or she'll do something really nice for someone out of the blue, like giving Augie Pullman an ugly doll keychain, which she did just last week. But in some ways, it's really bad because she has no defenses ready for when people aren't nice to her. She has no good comebacks. She just takes it all seriously. What's worse, though, is that she doesn't always get when people don't feel like talking to her. So she'll just keep chattering on or asking questions until the person walks away. It was Ellie who actually put it kind of perfectly a few months ago when we were griping about how annoying Maya could be sometimes. Maya makes it easy for people to be mean to her. And now Maya was about to make it really easy for Ellie to be mean to her, in front of a whole bunch of ice cream eating kids. Because, despite my words, despite my basically begging her not to do this, Maya Markowitz walked into the store, wove her way in and out of the crowd of people waiting in line, and marched to the back table where Ellie and that whole group of mighty girls was sitting. Lena and I watched from the sidewalk outside of the Carvel. There was a floor-to-ceiling window in the storefront, which was the perfect place to see events unfold. For a second, it felt like I was looking at one of those nature videos on PBS. I could almost hear a man with a British accent narrating the action. "Observe what happens as the young gazelle, which has just strayed from its herd." I watched Maya say something to Ellie, and how everyone at that table stopped talking and looked up at Maya. "Comes to the attention of the lions, who haven't eaten in several days." I saw her hand the envelope to Ellie, who seemed a bit confused. "I can't watch," said Lena, closing her eyes. "And now the lions, hungry for fresh meat, begin the hunt." How I stayed neutral. Again. Pretty much everything I predicted would happen happened as I predicted. After giving Ellie the note in front of everyone at the table, Maya turned around and started walking away. Ellie and the Savannah group exchanged laughing looks, and before Maya had even reached the next table, Savannah, Jimena, and Gretchen got out of their chairs to huddle around Ellie as she opened the envelope. I could see their faces clearly as they read the note. Jimena gasped at one point, while Savannah obviously thought it was hilarious. Maya kept walking across the room toward the exit, looking at me and Lena as she walked. Believe it or not, she was smiling at us. I could tell she was actually very happy. From her point of view, she was getting something off her chest that had really been bothering her, and, since she didn't give a hoot what the popular group thought about her, she didn't see herself as having anything to lose. The truth is, Maya was beyond their being able to hurt her. It was only Ellie she was mad at because Ellie had been her friend. But Maya really didn't care what those other girls thought about her, or that they might be laughing at her this very moment. In a way, I have to admit, I admired Maya's bravery. Having said that, I knew the last thing in the world I wanted right now was to be seen with her, so I started walking away from the window before she got back outside. I especially didn't want Jimena to see me there, waiting for Maya outside. I didn't want anyone to think I had anything to do with this kind of craziness. Just like I had managed to stay neutral in a war among the boys, I wanted to stay neutral in what might have turned into a war among the girls. How Jimena reacted. Summer texted me later that afternoon. "Did you hear about what Maya did?" "Yes," I texted. "I'm with Jimena right now. We're at my place. She's really upset. Can you come over?" "Mom," I said, just as we were getting ready for dinner, "can I go to Summer's house?" Mom shook her head. "No." "Please, it's kind of an emergency." She looked at me. "What happened?" "I can't explain now," I answered quickly, getting my coat. "Please, Mom, I'll be back soon, promise." "Does it have to do with a dance number?" she asked. "Kind of," I fibbed. "Okay, text me when you get there. But I want you home by 6:30. Summer only lived 4 blocks away from me, So I was there within 10 minutes. Summer's mom buzzed me in. "Hi, Charlotte. They're in the back," she said when she opened the front door. She took my coat. I made my way back to Summer's bedroom, where Jimena, just as Summer had texted, was crying on Summer's bed. Summer had a box of tissues in her hands and was consoling her. They told me the whole story, which I pretended not to know too much about. Maya had handed Ellie a note in front of everybody, and the note was full of really venomous things about Jimena. That's how they described it to me. "She called me evil," said Jimena, wiping tears from her face. "I mean, what did I ever do to Maya? I don't even know her." "I was telling Jimena that Maya can be kind of socially awkward sometimes," said Summer, patting Jimena's back like a mom would. "Socially awkward," said Jimena. "That's not social awkwardness. That's just mean. Do you know what it's like to have everyone reading something that awful about you? They passed her note around the table, and everyone took turns reading it, even the boys. And everybody thought it was hysterical. Savannah practically peed her pants. She thought it was so funny. I pretended I thought it was funny, too. Ha ha. Isn't it hilarious that somebody I barely know blames me for turning people into zombies?" She put air quotes on the word zombies. Then she started crying again. "It's awful, Jimena," I said, biting the inside of my cheek. "I'm so sorry she did that." "I told her we would talk to Maya," Summer said to me. I gave her a long look. "To do what?" I asked. "To tell her how upsetting what she wrote was," Summer answered. "Since we're friends with Maya, I figured we could explain how it hurt Jimena's feelings." "Maya's not going to care," I said quickly. "She won't get it, Jimena, believe me." How to explain to her? "Honestly, Jimena, I've known Maya for years, and in her mind, this wasn't about you. It's about Ellie. She's just mad that Ellie doesn't hang out with her anymore." "Obviously, but that's my fault," said Jimena. "I know that," I said, "but Maya doesn't know that, and she just wants to blame someone. She wants everything to go back to the way it was in lower school, and she figures it's your fault that things have changed." "That's just idiotic," Jimena said. "I know," I said. "It's like Savannah being mad at me for having been in a TV commercial once. It makes no sense." "How do you know all this?" asked Jimena. "Did she tell you?" "No," I said. "Did you know about the note beforehand?" "No," I said. Summer rescued me. "So what did Ellie say when she read Maya's note?" she asked Jimena. "Oh, she was so mad," answered Jimena. "She and Savannah want to go all out on Maya, post something super mean about her on Facebook or whatever. Then Miles drew this cartoon. They want to post it on Instagram." She nodded for Summer to hand me a folded-up piece of loose-leaf paper, which I opened. On it was a crude drawing of a girl, who was obviously Maya, kissing a boy, who was obviously Augie Pullman. Underneath it was written, "Freaks in Love." "Wait, why are they bringing Augie into it?" Summer asked, incensed. "I don't know," she said. "Miles was just trying to make me laugh. Everyone was laughing like it's all some kind of giant joke. But I don't think it's funny." "I'm really sorry, Jimena," I said. "Why does Maya hate me?" she asked sadly. "You just have to put it out of your mind," I advised her, "and not take it personally. Remember you told me I have to stop caring so much what people think about me? You have to do the same thing. Forget what Maya thinks about you." "I didn't ask to be part of Savannah's group when I started at Beecher Prep," said Jimena. "I didn't know who anyone was, or who was friends with who, or who was mad at who. Savannah was the first person who was nice to me, that's all." "Well," I answered, raising my chin and my shoulders, "that's not exactly true. I was nice to you." Jimena looked surprised. "I was nice to you," Summer added. "What? Now you guys are ganging up on me, too?" said Jimena. "No, no way," said Summer. "Just trying to make you see it from Maya's point of view, that's all. She's not a mean girl, Jimena. Maya doesn't even really have a mean bone in her body. She's mad at Ellie, and Ellie has been kind of mean to her lately. That's it. Ellie hasn't really even been mean, I said. She just ditched us for you guys. Which is fine. I don't care. I'm not Maya. Jimena covered her face with her hands. Does everybody hate me? She said, looking at us between her fingers. No, we both answered. We certainly don't, said Summer, handing Jimena a box of Kleenex. Jimena blew her nose. I guess I haven't been that nice to her in general, she said quietly. Drawings like this don't help, said Summer, handing the sketch Miles had made back to Jimena. Jimena took it and ripped it up into lots of little pieces. Just so you know, she said, I would never have posted that. And I told Savannah and Ellie not to dare make any mean comments about Maya on Facebook or anything. I would never be a cyberbully. I know, said Summer. She was about to say something else when there was a knock on the door. Summer's mom popped her head in. Hey, guys, she said cautiously. Is everything okay? We're fine, Mom, said Summer. Just some girl drama. Charlotte, your mom just called, Summer's mom said. She says you'd promised you'd be home in 10 minutes. I looked at my phone. It was already 6:20 p.m. Thanks, I said to Summer's mom, and then to Summer and Jimena. I better go. Are you going to be okay, Jimena? She nodded. Thanks for coming. Both of you, thanks for being so nice, she said. I just really wanted to talk to someone about it, but I couldn't actually talk to Savannah and Ellie, you know? We nodded. I better go home too, she said, standing up. The three of us walked down the hallway to the front door, where Summer's mom looked like she was trying to organize the coats. Why the long faces, girls? She asked cheerfully. I would think you'd be jumping up and down for joy about the big day tomorrow. After all those rehearsals and all the hard work you've put into it, I can't wait to see you guys dancing. Oh, yeah, I answered, nodding. I looked at Summer and Jimena. It is pretty exciting. Summer and Jimena started smiling. Yeah, said Jimena. I'm actually kind of nervous, said Summer. I've never danced in front of an audience before. You just have to pretend they're not there, answered Jimena. You would never know that 2 minutes ago she'd been crying. That's awesome advice, said Summer's mom. That's what I said, too, I chimed in. Are your parents going to be there, Jimena? Summer's mom asked. I look forward to meeting them at the banquet. Yeah, she answered politely, smiling with her dimple on full power now. All the parents are sitting at the same table, I said, and Mrs. Antonabi and her husband. Oh, good, said Summer's mom. I'm looking forward to hanging out with everyone. Bye, Summer. Bye, Mrs. Dawson, said Jimena. Bye, I said. We walked down the stairs to the lobby together, Jimena and me, and then headed down the block toward Main Street, where she would make a left turn and I would make a right turn. You feeling better now? I said as we stopped on the corner. Yeah, she answered, smiling. Thanks, Charlotte. You've been a really good friend. Thanks. You too. Nah, she shook her head, playing with the fringes of my scarf. She gave me a long look. I know I could have been nicer to you sometimes, Charlotte. Then she hugged me. Sorry. I have to say, it felt really awesome hearing that from her. Cool beans, I said. See you tomorrow. Bye. I walked past the restaurants along Amesfort Avenue, which were finally starting to get busy again now that the weather was becoming warmer. I couldn't stop thinking about what Jimena had just said. Yeah, she could have been nicer to me sometimes. Could I have been nicer to some people, too? I stopped at the big intersection for the light. That's when I noticed the back of a man in an orange parka boarding a bus, with a black dog next to him. The dog was wearing a red bandana. Gordy Johnson! I called out, running after him as soon as the light changed. He turned when he heard his name, but the doors of the bus closed behind him. How Mrs. Antonabi wished us well. In the upper floor studios of Carnegie Hall, which is where Mrs. Antonabi had us get ready for the show, there's a hallway with framed pictures and programs of some of the great dancers who've performed there over the years. As we walked down that hall on the way to change into our costumes, Mrs. Antonabi pointed to one of the photographs. It was a picture of the Duncan dancers, Isadora Duncan's daughters, posing very theatrically in long white tunics. It was dated November 3rd, 1923. "Look, they're just like the three of you," she chirped happily. "Let me take a picture of you girls in front of it," she said, pulling out her phone and aiming it toward us. The three of us instantly posed next to the picture, standing the same way the dancers were, me on the left, hands in the air facing right, Summer on the right, hands in the air facing left, and Jimena in the middle, arms spread out in front of her facing the camera. Mrs. Antonabi snapped several shots until she was content with one, and then the four of us, because Mrs. Antonabi was every bit as excited as we were tonight, giddily trotted to the back room to get into our costumes. We weren't the only ones performing tonight. The Upper School Jazz Ensemble and the Upper School Chamber Choir were already there. We could hear the sounds of trumpets and saxophones and other instruments echoing through the hallways, and the choir doing warm-ups in a large room next to our dressing room. Mrs. Antonabi helped us with our hair and makeup. It was so awesome how she transformed each of our hairstyles into big, round bouffants with curled, flicked-up ends, topped by a cloud of hairspray. Although we all had such different types of hair, Mrs. Antonabi somehow made us match perfectly. We were going on last. It felt like such a long wait. We held hands the whole time and tried to talk ourselves out of being completely panicked. When it was finally time for us to go on, Mrs. Antonabi brought us downstairs to the backstage of the Stern Auditorium. We peeked through the curtains at the audience as the Upper School Chamber Choir finished its last song. There were so many people. You couldn't make out anyone's face because it was so dark, but it was the biggest auditorium I had ever seen, with balconies and gilded arches and velvet walls. Mrs. Antonabi had us take our positions behind the curtains. Jimena in the middle, me on the left, Summer on the right. Then she faced us. "Girls, you've worked so hard," she whispered, her voice shaking with emotion. "I can't thank you enough for all the time you've put into making my piece come to life. Your energy, your enthusiasm." Her voice cracked. She wiped a tear away excitedly. If we hadn't read that article about her, we might not have understood why this was all so important to her. But we knew. We never told her we had found that article about her, that we knew about her childhood friend. We figured if she had wanted us to know, she would have told us. But knowing that little piece of her story somehow made the dance and everything leading up to it that much more special. Funny how all our stories kind of intertwine. Every person's story weaves in and out of someone else's story. "I'm just so proud of you girls," she whispered, kissing us each on our forehead. The audience was applauding the choir, which had just finished. As the singers streamed backstage through the wings, Mrs. Antonabi made her way around the front of the stage to wait for Mr. Tushman to introduce her, and we took our positions. We could hear Mrs. Antonabi introducing the number we were about to dance, and us. "This is it, guys," Jimena whispered to us as the curtain started to rise. We waited for the music to start. 5, 6, 5, 6, 7, 8. It's the Shingaling, baby. How we danced. I wish I could describe every second of those 11 minutes on stage, every move, every jump, every shimmy and twist, but of course I can't. All I can say is that the whole thing went absolutely perfectly. Not one missed cue or fumble. Basically, for 11 solid minutes, it felt like we were dancing 10 feet above the rest of the world. It was the most thrilling, exciting, tiring, emotional, fun, awesome experience of my life. And as we ramped up to the big finish, stop lighting to, "Well, let me tell you, nobody, nobody, before busting into Mrs. Antonabi's signature shingling, which was a variation she invented, I could feel the energy of the entire audience as they clapped along to the song. Nobody, 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 and then we were done. It was over. Out of breath, beaming from ear to ear. Thunderous applause. The three of us bowed in sync, and then we took our individual bows. The audience hooted and hollered. Our parents were ready with flowers for us, and my mom handed me an extra bouquet, which we gave to Mrs. Antonabi when she came on stage with us to take a bow. I wished, for a second, that all the fifth graders who'd ever laughed behind Mrs. Antonabi's back could see her now, right this minute as I was seeing her. In her beautiful gown, her bun perfectly made, she looked like a queen. How we spent the rest of the night. A little later, after changing out of our costumes, we joined our parents for dinner in the banquet hall downstairs. As we wound our way through the round tables full of teachers, other parents, and a lot of grown-ups we didn't know, people congratulated us and complimented our dancing. I thought to myself, this is what it feels like to be famous, and I loved it. Our parents were all sitting together at a table by the time we got there, along with Mrs. Antonabi and her husband. There was a little round of applause from them as we sat down, and then, basically, we spent the rest of the evening talking to each other nonstop, breaking down every second of the dance, where we'd been nervous about not making a particular kick, where we'd gotten a little dizzy coming out of a spin. Before dinner was served, Dr. Jansen, the headmaster of the school, gave a short speech thanking everyone for coming to the benefit, and then asked Mrs. Antonabi, as well as the choir teacher and the jazz teacher, to stand up for another round of applause. Jimena, Summer, and I cheered as loud as we could. Then he talked about other things, like financial goals and fundraising, and stuff that was so boring I couldn't wait for him to stop. Later, after we'd finished our salads, Mr. Tushman made a speech about the importance of supporting the arts at Beecher Prep so the school could continue to nurture the kind of talent they'd watch tonight. And this time he asked all the students who would perform tonight to stand up again for another round of applause. Around the room, the kids from the jazz ensemble and choir stood up with varying degrees of willingness and shyness. The three of us, though, weren't the least bit shy about standing up for another round of applause. What can I say? Bring it on! By the time coffee was being served, all the speeches were over, and people had started walking around and mingling. I saw one couple come over to our table, but I couldn't remember who they were until Summer jumped out of her seat to hug them. Then I knew. Augie's parents. They kissed Summer's mom and then circled around to me and Jimena. You guys were so amazing, Augie's mom said sweetly. Thank you so much, I answered, smiling. You must be so proud of them, Augie's dad said to Mrs. Antonabi, who was next to Summer. I am, Mrs. Antonabi said, beaming. They worked so hard. Congrats again, girls, said Augie's mom, giving my shoulder a little squeeze before making her way back to Summer's mom. Say hi to Augie for me, I called out. We will. Wait, those were Augie's parents? Jimena. They look like movie stars. I know, I whispered back. What are you guys whispering about? Said Summer, coming between us. She didn't know they were Augie's parents, I explained. Oh, said Summer. His parents are so nice. It's really ironic, said Jimena. They're so good-looking. Have you ever seen Augie's big sister? I said. She's super pretty, like she could be a model. It's crazy. Wow, said Jimena. I guess I thought, I don't know, that they'd all kind of look like Augie. No, Summer said gently. It's like with your brother. It's just how he was born. Jimena nodded slowly. I could tell, smart as she was, she'd never thought of it like that before. How I fell asleep, finally. We didn't get home until pretty late that night. I was super tired as I washed all the makeup off my face and got ready for bed. But then, I don't know why, I couldn't fall asleep. All the night's events kept crashing over me like soft waves. I felt the way you feel, like when you're on a boat, rocking back and forth. My bed was floating in an ocean. After about half an hour of tossing and turning, I picked my phone up from where it was charging on my nightstand. "Anyone up?" I texted Summer and Jimena. It was after midnight. I was sure they were asleep. "Just wanted you guys to know that I think you're the two most amazing people in the world, and I'm glad we got to be such good friends for a while. I'll always remember this night. It's the shingling, baby." I put the phone back on the nightstand and karate chopped my pillow to make it comfy. I closed my eyes, hoping sleep would come. Just as I felt myself finally drifting off, my phone buzzed. It wasn't Jimena or Summer. Weirdly enough, it was Ellie. "Hey, Charlie. I'm sure you're sleeping, but my parents just came home from the gala and said you guys were absolutely unbelievably incredible. Proud of you. Wish I could have been there to see you dance. You deserve it. Let's try to hang out after school next week. Miss you." It sounds stupid, but her text made me so happy, tears instantly welled up in my eyes. "Thanks so much, Ellie," I texted back. "Wish you could have been there too. Would love to hang next week. Miss you too. Good night." How Maya was surprised and surprised us all. I woke up feeling so exhausted the next morning. Mom let me go to school late. I saw that both Jimena and Summer had texted me first thing in the morning. Jimena Chin: "I feel the same way, Charlotte. What a night." Summer Dawson: "I love you too." I didn't text them back because I knew they were in class. I missed the first three periods and didn't see either of them until lunch. Summer, as usual, was sitting with Augie and Jack, and Jimena, as usual, was at the Savannah table. For a fraction of a second, I was going to go over and say hello to Jimena, but the image of Maya standing in front of that same group of kids yesterday was still fresh in my head, and I didn't want to give Jimena even the sliver of a chance of disappointing me with anything but a really friendly hello. So I waved to her in Summer as I walked over to my usual table and sat down next to Maya. The girls at my table asked me how last night had gone. Some of them had heard about it from their parents, but I spared them too many details because I knew they'd lose interest after 30 seconds, which is exactly what happened. Not that I could blame them, really. The main thing on their minds, in fact, the only thing they wanted to talk about, was the note that Maya had given to Ellie yesterday in Carvel. That note, it turned out, which by now had been quoted or read aloud by half the grade, was Maya's first ticket to a kind of popularity she'd never experienced before. People were talking about her. Kids were pointing her out to curious sixth graders who had also heard about the note. "I'm the queen of the underdogs today," Maya herself said. I could tell she felt triumphant. She liked the attention she was getting. I had intended to tell her how hurt Jimena had been by her note, how it had made her cry. But, in a strange way, I also didn't want to rain on Maya's parade. "Hey, you," said Summer, nudging me so I could scoot over. "Hey," I said, surprised to see her there. I looked over at her table, but Augie and Jack had already left. "Hi, Summer," said Maya eagerly. "Did you hear about my note?" Summer smiled. "Yes, I did," she answered. "Did you like it?" Maya asked. I could tell Summer didn't want to hurt Maya's feelings either, so she hesitated in answering. "Where are Augie and Jack?" I interjected. "Working on some top-secret notes to leave in Julian's locker," she answered. "A note like mine?" said Maya. Summer shook her head. "I don't think so. Love notes from someone named Beulah." "Who's Beulah?" I said. Summer laughed. "It's too hard to explain." I noticed that Jimena was looking at us from all the way across the cafeteria. I smiled at her. She smiled back. Then, to my surprise, She got up and walked over to our table. Everybody at the table stopped talking as soon as they saw her standing there. Without even being asked, Megan and Rand scooted apart, and Jimena sat down between them, directly opposite Maya, me, and Summer. Maya was completely shocked. Her eyes were open wide, and she almost looked a little scared. I had no idea what would happen next. Jimena clasped her hands in front of her, leaned forward, and looked straight at Maya. "Maya," she said, "I just want to apologize if I've ever said or done anything to insult you. I never meant to, if that's the case. I actually think you're a really nice person and super smart and interesting, and I really hope that we can be friends from now on." Maya blinked, but she didn't say anything. Her mouth was literally hanging open. "Anyway," said Jimena, now seeming a little shy, "I just wanted to tell you that."
"That's so nice of you, Jimena," said Summer, smiling.
Jimena looked at us with that winking expression of hers. "It's the shingling, baby," she said, which made us both smile. Then, as quickly as she'd sat down with us, she got up and walked back to her table. I looked out of the corner of my eye and saw Ellie and Savannah watching her. As soon as she sat down at her table, they came in close to hear what she had to say.
"That was so nice of her, wasn't it?" Summer said to Maya.
"I'm shocked," answered Maya, taking her glasses off to wipe them. "Totally shocked." Summer gave me a little knowing look.
"Maya, whatever happened to that giant game of dots you were working on?" I said.
"Oh, I have it here," she answered eagerly. "I told you I was waiting until you're around to play it."
"Why? You want to play it now?"
"Yeah," I answered. "I do."
"Me too," said Summer.
Maya gasped, grabbed her backpack, and pulled out a tube of paper that was folded in thirds and slightly bent at the top. We watched her unfold it and carefully unwind the sheet of paper, which took up the entire width and length of the lunch table. When it was completely stretched out, we all looked at it, stunned. There wasn't one square inch of the gigantic paper that wasn't covered in dots. Perfectly drawn, evenly spaced lines of dots. But not just dots. Beautiful grid patterns connected by swirls, waves of lines that ended in spirals or flowers or sunbursts. It almost looked like tattoo art, the way blue ink can cover someone's arm so completely you don't know where one tattoo starts and another ends. It was the most unbelievably beautiful game of dots I've ever seen.
"Maya, this is incredible," I said slowly.
"Yeah," she said happily. "I know." How some things changed and some things didn't. That was the only time, and the last time, that Summer, Jimena, and I sat at a lunch table together. Or at any table, for that matter. We went back to our different groups. Jimena with Savannah, Summer and Augie, me and Maya. And that, honestly, was fine with me. Sure, maybe there was part of me, the part that loves happy endings, that wished things had changed. Jimena and Ellie would suddenly switch tables and start sitting at my table, along with Summer. Maybe we'd start a new lunch table together with Jack and Augie and Reed and Amos at the table next to ours. But the truth is, I knew things wouldn't change much. I knew it would be the way it had been after the sleepover. Like we had taken a secret trip together, a voyage that no one else knew about. And when we returned from our journey, we each went back to our own homes. Some friendships are like that. Maybe even the best friendships are like that. The connections are always there. They're just invisible to the eye. Which is why Savannah would have no idea that Summer and I got to know her best friend Jimena as well as we did. And why Maya wouldn't understand the effect her note had on me and Summer. Or why Augie didn't know the first thing about any of this stuff that was going on. "He has his own stuff to worry about," Summer had told me once, when she explained why she had never even told Augie she'd gotten picked to be in Mrs. Antonabi's dance. "He doesn't need to know about all this girl drama." That's not to say there haven't been some changes that have happened. As we entered our last few months of fifth grade,
I definitely noticed that Jimena made more of an effort to branch out to other girls in our grade. And when she sees me in the hallway now, she always gives me a warm hello, regardless of whether she's with Savannah. Also, even though Ellie and Maya never patch things up, Ellie and I have hung out after school a couple of times. Not that it's like it used to be, of course, but it's something, and I'll take it. Small steps, as Mrs. Antonabi would say. It starts with small steps. And the truth is, even if Jimena, Savannah, and Ellie did suddenly invite me to sit at their table, I wouldn't go now. It just wouldn't seem right. First of all, I wouldn't want to get an angry note from Maya or have her bare her teeth at me across a room. But mostly, it's because I realized something the day she unrolled her magnificent dot game across the lunch table. Maya's been my friend through thick and thin. My friend, all these years, in her clumsy, loyal, slightly annoying way. She's never judged me. She's always accepted me. And that group of girls at my lunch table, the ones I have nothing in common with. Well, guess what? We have a lunch table in common, and a ridiculously beautiful game of dots that we play over lunch, with the different colored markers Maya's assigned to each and every one of us, which we have to use or she gets really mad at us. But that's just Maya, and that will never change. How I talked to Mr. Tushman. The last day of school, Mr. Tushman's assistant, Mrs. Garcia, found me in seventh period and asked if I would come talk to Mr. Tushman right after school. Maya overheard her and started giggling. "Ooh, ooh, Charlotte's in trouble," she sang. We both knew that wasn't the case, though, and that it probably had to do with the awards they were giving out tomorrow. Everyone assumed that I would win the Beecher Medal because I had organized the coat drive, and the medal usually went to the student who did the most community service. I knocked on Mr. Tushman's door right after the last period bell. "Come in, Charlotte," he said enthusiastically, signaling for me to sit at the chair in front of his desk. I always loved Mr. Tushman's office. He had all these fun puzzles on the edge of his desk, and artwork from kids over the years framed and hanging on the walls. I noticed immediately that he had Augie's self-portrait as a duck displayed behind his desk. And then suddenly I knew what this meeting was about. "So, are you excited about tomorrow's graduation ceremony?" he asked, crossing his hands in front of him on the desk. I nodded. "I can't believe fifth grade is almost over," I answered, unable to restrain my happiness. "It's hard to believe, isn't it?" he said. "Do you have plans for summer?" "I'm going to dance camp." "Oh, how fun," he answered. "You three were so amazing at the benefit in March, like professional dancers. Mrs. Antonabi was so impressed with how hard you worked and how well you worked together." "Yeah, it was so much fun," I said excitedly. "That's great," he said, smiling. "I'm glad you've had a good year, Charlotte. You deserve it. You've been a joyful presence in these hallways, and I appreciate how you've always been nice to everyone. Don't think things like that go unnoticed." "Thank you, Mr. Tushman." "The reason I wanted to have a little word with you before tomorrow," he said, "and I'm hoping you can keep it between us, is that I know you know that among the many honors I give out tomorrow, one of them is the Beecher Medal." "You're giving it to Augie," I blurted out. "Right?" He looked surprised. "Why do you say that?" he asked. "Everybody's assuming I'm getting it." He looked at me carefully. Then he smiled. "You are a very smart girl, Charlotte," he said gently. "I'm fine with that, Mr. Tushman," I said. "But I wanted to explain," he insisted, "because the truth of the matter is, had this been like any other ordinary year, you probably would be getting that medal, Charlotte. You deserve it, not only because of all the hard work you did on the coat drive, but because, like I just said before, you've been a really nice person to everyone. I still remember how, right from the start when I asked you to be Augie's welcome buddy, you embraced that wholeheartedly and without equivocation." Have I mentioned how much I love the fact that he uses big words and assumes we understand them? "But, as you know," he said, This year has been anything except ordinary. And when I was thinking about this award, thinking about what it represents, I realized that it can be about more than community service. Not to devalue that at all.
No, I know totally what you mean, I agreed.
When I look at Augie and all the challenges he has to face on a daily basis, he said, patting his heart, I'm in awe of how he manages to simply show up every day with a smile on his face. And I want him to have validation that this year was a triumph for him, that he's made an impact. I mean, the way the kids rallied around him after the horrible incident at the nature reserve, it was because of him. He inspired that kindness in them.
I completely get what you mean, I said.
And I want this award to be about kindness, he continued. The kindness we put out in the world.
Totally, I agreed. He seemed genuinely delighted by my attitude, and a little relieved, I think.
I'm so glad you understand, Charlotte, he said. I wanted to tell you beforehand, so you wouldn't be disappointed during the ceremony tomorrow, since, as you say, everyone's assuming you're getting it. But you won't tell anyone, right? I wouldn't want to ruin the surprise for Augie or his family.
Can I tell my parents?
Of course, though I'm planning on giving them a call myself tonight to tell them just how proud I am of you at this very moment.
He got up and reached across the table to shake my hand, so I shook his hand.
Thank you, Charlotte, he said.
Thank you, Mr. Tushman.
See you tomorrow.
Bye. I started walking toward the door, but then this one thought popped into my head, like a fully formed idea. I had no clue where it came from. But the award can go to two people, right? I asked. He looked up. For a second, I thought I saw the tiniest bit of disappointment in his eyes.
It has, on a few occasions, gone to a couple of students who've done a community service project together, he answered, scratching his forehead. But in the case of Augie and you, I think the reasons he would be getting it are so different from the reasons you would be...
No, I'm not talking about Augie and me, I interrupted. I think Summer should get that award.
Summer?
She's been such an amazing friend to Augie all year long, I explained. And not because you asked her to be his welcome buddy, like with me and Jack. She just did it. It's like what you just said about kindness. Mr. Tushman nodded, like he was really listening to what I was saying. I mean, I've been nice to Augie, I said, but Summer was kind. That's like nice to the 10th power or something. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean, he answered, smiling.
I nodded. Good.
I really appreciate your telling me all this, Charlotte, he said. You've given me much to think about.
Awesome. He was looking at me and nodding slowly, like he was debating something in his head.
Let me ask you something, though, he said, pausing as if he were trying to find the right words. Do you think Summer would want a medal just for being friends with Augie?
The moment he said it, I knew exactly what he meant.
Oh, I said, wait a minute, you're right, she wouldn't.
For some reason, the image of Maya baring her teeth at the Savannah table across the room popped into my head.
Friends definitely aren't about the medals. But let me think about it tonight, he said, getting up.
No, you're right, I answered. It's good the way you had it.
You sure?
I nodded. Thanks again, Mr. Tushman. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Charlotte.
We shook hands again, but this time he took my hand in both of his own.
Just so you know, he said, being nice is the first step toward being kind. It's a pretty awesome start. I'm supremely proud of you, Charlotte.
Maybe he knew it and maybe he didn't, but for someone like me, words like that are worth all the medals in the world. How Ximena rocked her speech.
Good morning, Dr. Jansen, Mr. Tushman, Dean Rubin, fellow students, faculty, teachers, and parents. I'm honored to have been asked to give the commencement speech on behalf of the fifth grade this year. As I look around at all the happy faces, I feel so lucky to be here. As some of you know, this was my first year at Beecher Prep. I won't lie, I was a little nervous about coming here at first. I knew that some kids have been here since kindergarten, and I was afraid I wouldn't make friends. But it turns out that a lot of my classmates were also new to the school, like me. And even the kids who have been here a while, well, middle school is a brand new ballgame for everyone. It's definitely been a learning experience for all of us, with some bumps along the way, some hits and misses, but it's been a wonderful ride. Earlier this year, I was asked to perform in a dance choreographed by Mrs. Antonabi for the Beecher Prep benefit. It was amazing for me. My fellow dancers and I worked really hard to learn how to dance together as one. That takes a lot of time and trust. Now, you may not know this about me, but as someone who's gone to a lot of different new schools over the years, trust hasn't always been easy for me to give people. But I really learned to trust these girls. I realized I could be myself with them, and I'll always be grateful for that. I think what I'm most looking forward to next year, my fellow fifth graders, is building that trust with all of you. My hope is, as we start sixth grade, as we get older and wiser, that we all learn to trust each other enough so that we can truly be ourselves and accept each other for who we really are. Thank you. How I finally introduced myself. I had texted Summer and Jimena the day I saw Gordy Johnson getting on an uptown bus, and we were all thrilled to know he was alive and well. There was so much else going on at the time, though, that we really hadn't had the chance to talk about it too much. We got excited, kept our eyes peeled to see if we'd spot him again somewhere else in the neighborhood, but we never did. He was gone. Again. The next time I saw him wasn't until the beginning of July. Suddenly he was there again, sitting in front of the A&P supermarket awning, playing the same songs on his accordion that he had always played, his black Labrador lying down in front of him. I watched him for a few minutes. I studied his open eyes, remembering how they used to scare me. I watched his fingers tapping the buttons on the accordion. It's such a mysterious instrument to me. He was playing "Those Were the Days," my favorite song. I went up to him when he was finished. "Hi," I said. He smiled in my direction. "Hello." "I'm glad you're back," I said. "Thank you, Missy," he said. "Where did you go?" "Oh, well," he said, "I went to stay with my daughter down south for a spell. These New York City winters are getting tough on these old bones of mine." "It was a cold winter, that's for sure," I said. "That's for sure." "Your dog's name is Joni, right?" "That's right." "And your name is Gordy Johnson." He tilted his head. "Am I so famous that you know my name?" he asked, cackling. "My friend Summer Dawson knows you," I answered. He looked up, trying to think of who I might have been talking about. "Her father was in the Marines," I explained. "He died a few years ago. Sergeant Dawson?" "Sergeant Dawson," he said. "Of course I remember him. Glorious man. Sad news. I remember that family well. You tell that little girl I say hello, okay? She was a sweet child."
"I will," I answered. "We had actually tried to find you. Summer and I were worried about you when you weren't here anymore."
"Oh, honey," he said. "You don't need to worry about me. I make my way around all right. I'm not homeless or anything. I got a place of my own uptown. I just like to have something to do with myself, to get out with Joni. I take the express bus in the morning right outside my building, get out at the last stop. It's a nice ride. I come here out of habit, you know? Nice people here, like Sergeant Dawson was. I like to play for them. You like my music?"
"Yes," I said.
"Well, that's why I'm out here playing, girl," he said excitedly, "to brighten up people's days."
I nodded happily. "Okay," I said. "Thank you, Mr. Johnson."
"You can call me Gordy.
I'm Charlotte, by the way."
"Nice to meet you, Charlotte," he said. He extended his hand. I shook it.
"I better go now," I said. "It was nice talking to you." Bye-bye, Charlotte.
Bye-bye, Mr. Johnson. I reached into my pocket, pulled out a dollar bill, and dropped it into his accordion case. Swoosh!